The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be yours this day. Desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth as its fruit, that's what the Greek says, death. Of God's own will, He gave birth to us. That's what the Greek says, not the translation. By the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. This text speaks of two births. And in speaking of two births, it speaks of two persons. These two persons are, as it were, the same. The first person is you and me. That's the person full of desire. Don't deny it. You have them. Saint Augustine tells us in his Confessions, as is one's heart, so is one. Your desires define who you are. This text says that desire gives birth to sin. And the fruit of this tree is death. Then there's another person. The scriptures first speak of this person as one conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary and made man. Born of the Holy Spirit. This is the one who is the Word of truth. And we, by God's grace, also have been born from above by the Word of truth. This entire exhortation of James begins like this. Count it all joy when you meet and sustain yourselves or are sustained under various kinds of trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Faith holds to certainty and that which is steadfast. Over the weekend, I had opportunity in Los Alamos, New Mexico, to give a series of public presentations on Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. In watching the movie yet again, I was yet again struck by the iconic power of this movie, which may be seen as the visual commentary of this passage of James. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under temptation. The movie indicates that he who was steadfast, unmovable, was Christ. Foretold in Isaiah 53 that you recited by your own lips just a moment ago, and which is the rubric of the movie. He was wounded for our iniquities. Today is the festival of Saint Perpetua and Felicitas, two early Christian martyrs. Read that martyrdom if you have not done so already. Perpetua, a young Roman matron, deserts everything, father, home, wealth, to meet, as she sees in a vision, the Egyptian, the devil. And in this arena of combat, which is the temptation to deny Christ, she holds steadfast. And in the end, as Christ crushed the head of the snake, she stomps on the head of the Egyptian. The last we see, at least in the martyrology of Perpetua, she is walking through the Porta Vivarium, that is to say, the gate through which those who survived walked, the gate of the living. But she walked through the gate of the living by dying, by giving up the totality of her life for the one who was her life. And this is the meaning of Lent, and the invitation, one might even say the command of Lent, to give up your life by taking up the cross of Christ. In the movie, Simon of Cyrene is ordered by the Roman soldiers to help Jesus bear his cross. You may remember that Simon first refuses to do so, at least he is most unwilling to do so, and he speaks forth his understanding of who he is in such words as these: "I want everyone to know that I am an innocent man, forced to take up the cross of a condemned one." By the time he gets to Golgotha, the Roman soldiers have difficulty forcing him to leave. This is the paradigm of conversion and faith. Blessed is the man who endures all trials, for testing produces endurance and steadfastness. This steadfastness is the love of God, which, as Paul reminds us, is deeper, higher, wider, stronger than all things, even sword and death. As we ponder the meaning of Lent, our eyes should be upon the one who is the Word of truth, by whom and in whom we were born anew from above. To be, as James puts it, a kind of first fruits of God's creation. May the Lord grant it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.